Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is our text. These are some of the most amazing words ever written in human language. The Word became flesh. God became man. In Latin, homo factus est. He is made man. How can we possibly grasp this mystery? The immortal God has made himself mortal, capable of dying. The one who is eternal has entered time. The transcendent has become part of his creation. And given that God became man, how should we respond? What response is fitting for us as human beings? When I think about what the Gospel of John tells us, I can't help but think about other ancient texts and comparisons. The Word didn't become a myth or a story or a fable. This isn't like all those old stories about gods and goddesses, Zeus and Hera and Athena and Apollo. If you know your Greek mythology, you might recall that those kinds of gods in the stories, they pulled all sorts of shenanigans. They pursued their lusts. They sought revenge. They were powerful, but petty. They acted more like kingpins or mob bosses or tyrants. They did whatever they wanted. They took whatever they desired. In those stories, the gods came down not to serve, oh, certainly not, but to be served. God became man. For real. This isn't a once upon a time, and it didn't take place in a galaxy far, far away. We know the time, and we know the place. It happened in the days of Caesar Augustus, and it took place in Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. There's real flesh here, real blood here. Real muscles and tendons joined to bones, forming a skeleton covered with real skin and real heart, real lungs, real everything. In him was life, breath, mind, soul, will, desire, and all the rest. Like us, it says in the scriptures. Like us in every way, with one exception. When the Word became flesh, he had no sin. He was what Adam and Eve were in the beginning. He was what humanity was meant to be. He was in the flesh what we will be through him by grace when he raises us from the dead on the last day. You see, God came in the flesh because he saw what needed to be done. And when he saw what needed to be done, he realized that this was something that no angel could do. He realized that no prophet, no priest, no king could handle it. He knew that he had to do it. He knew also that it had to be done in the flesh. He sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to the world himself he came. God sent his Son, the Logos, the eternal Word, to be born of Mary. And that moment is the moment that changes everything for the history of the world, the universe, and for you and me. That is the moment when everything that sin and death had brought begins to be undone. The Word made man in the beginning, but he already knew that one day he would become man. When he created time, he did it with the knowledge that he would enter time, that he would really enter it, that he would do more than just stick his finger in and stir things about with a miracle here or there. He plunged in head first. That's what he did. Plunged into sin and death and suffering and battle with the devil head first. In the beginning, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in the fullness of time, the Word became flesh. It's as if you were to enter your own creation, as if you were to step into your own painting, or jump into the pages of your own story, or become the notes of your own composition. Or thinking about my household, it might be as if you were to enter the magical world made out of Play-Doh and blocks and Legos and construction equipment, and be able to walk around inside of it and be part of it. And as if you were to do that because that was the only way to set right something that had gone wrong, because the painting had become spoiled, or the story had taken a terrible turn, or the music was filled with dissonance, and the only way to set it right was for you to get in there and do it yourself. The Word became flesh. Not a hologram, not an avatar, not just appearing to be flesh. God didn't just adopt a man and give him divine titles. God, the Word, really became flesh in such a way that he could look people in the eye, he could wear a smile, shed a tear, had cuts that bled, and suffer true pain. A real flesh and blood man. Because he knows what you're going through, what you've been through, what life in this fallen world is like, and he didn't want to leave us as it is. That's what he had to do for us men and for our salvation. And this is so crucial that Christians from the earliest days have recognized that if you lose this, you lose everything. Every heresy, every false teaching touches Jesus in some way. There were some who said that Jesus was really God, but he wasn't really fully man. There were others who said he's really man, but he's not really God. Either way, salvation is at stake. Because if he didn't become man, how could he possibly save us? And if he wasn't God, how in the world would it be enough to save all of us? But this is what he did. God became man. He entered the story. He wrote himself into the music. He put himself in the painting. And why? Why would he do that? It was out of love. Because in his love, he saw our need and he saw the darkness. And he was not content to leave us in sin and suffering and death. And he was not content to let us sit in darkness. And he was not content to let his creation be stolen or wrecked. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling, our lost and fallen race. It is a remarkable thing that we celebrate today. And I think that we have hardly even begun to grasp the depth of this mystery and the joy and the love that God has for each and every one of us. A love that sent him into this life to live a perfect life in our place as our substitute. And a love that sent him into death to die the full death under the weight of sin and the wrath of God, that we might not have to face that ourselves. Dear friends, we stake our lives on this, that God became man. And even more, he staked his love on it as well. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal sake. How do we respond to the incarnation? What is fitting but to bend our knees and bow our heads and sing his praises and receive his gifts and return to him our thanks and give him our lives so that he can take our lives, our flesh, and our blood and make them his and use them for his purposes and one day raise them again to a life that will never end. In Jesus' name, amen.